Father, your will in heaven, we declare done in the earth. We see with your eyes what you've done. The word says that when we pray, we should believe that we've received, and then we will have. Our Lord Jesus Christ saw, and then he performed and manifested. We ask, O God, for the grace, O God, to see what you've done, that we may manifest it by the authority of your word and by your manifold graces, that all may see what has already been done. We give you praise for it. Thank you, Father, for a wonderful time in your presence this day. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God for his faithfulness. You know, the song we sang this evening, we sang this morning, "See What the Lord Has Done." And in real terms, it's about seeing what is already manifested. But there's a dimension where we need to see what has not been manifested yet. See what is done, and then manifesting it by his grace. My prayer is that we'll be able to see both aspects. See into the realm of the spirit, and also see the manifestation in the natural when we have received it, or have it rather. Amen? Tonight we're going to receive the word of the Lord, the word that God has for us. And it is my privilege to welcome a dear son in this house that God is raising up by his spirit. He's been steadfast and faithful since the first day that he came through those doors. And we experience the love of God flowing in his heart and through his heart. And today we'll experience the word of the Lord from him. Let's welcome Grand Moses. Amen.
After Apostle called and said, you know, I want you to speak today, and I got off the phone, the first thing I said was, Lord, speak through me. I do not want to speak about what I've studied or learned. I want you to speak through a revelation. And the interesting thing was, I slept and I had a dream. And in that dream, I was preaching. I was teaching the word, like I was on stage teaching, and he was speaking. I wasn't the one speaking. I could see myself speaking, but it wasn't me speaking. It was the Lord speaking. And it got so overwhelming that I woke up. Okay, so I woke up at 2. It felt like I had slept for 8 hours, but it was just less than 2 hours, and I woke up crying with tears coming down my eyes, and that was because that message was overwhelming. I mean, I knew about it, but it's like each time I hear about this specific message, it always overwhelms me, and that's about the person of Jesus. I know how, I don't know who've watched the Passion of Christ. A lot of times my mom could never finish that movie because when they start whooping Jesus, she just couldn't handle that. And each time I watched that, or once in a while, I would go back to that movie just to remind myself, because that was the close depiction of what Jesus went through. He says, by stripes you were healed. If you see how it was whooped, you would understand that by stripes you were really healed. So the Lord put so many songs in my heart. I was singing all night. And I do this all the time. He says, making melodies in your heart. I see myself singing in the shower everywhere. He says, making melody in your heart. And that's one thing the scripture tells us. He says, making melody in your heart. That means you may not be the best singer in the world, but make melody in your heart. So I'm starting today. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. He proved it on the cross. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. He proved it on the cross. And I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, you've got to hold me today because I don't want to break down crying on stage. Because whenever I talk about this, it's, I don't know, there's a way the anointing flows that you cannot handle it. And it just, it's overwhelming that I'm glad Apostle left this here so I'd make use of it. And so in this dream, I was seeing a lot of things Jesus did. I was seeing how Abraham had a son to give. God did not have a son to give. I saw how Jonathan was willing to give his life so that David would be the next king. And God was moved by that, but God did not have one. And I think about all these things, and I think about how there was only one thing Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to just please the Father. He had the power. He had his own free will. He had his will to do whatever he wanted to do. But he wanted to please his own Father. All he wanted to do was please God. And then I think about the scripture where it says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So therefore, for us to please God, we need to have faith. So then that song comes to my mind where it says, why should I be discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. So if you know the song you sing, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I am free. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. So I sing because I know he loves me. I sing because he died for me. I sing because he took the stripes. I sing because he was willing, just like Jonathan, he was willing to give his life for me. So if this man was willing to do all these things, the question I ask is, do we really know who Jesus is? So let's open our Bibles to Matthew 16, verse 13, and we will start from there. Matthew 16, verse 13. And he says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? 14. So they say, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. 15. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And he says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's so interesting that Christ would be with his disciples and ask this question, like, who do men say I am? Well, you've been with me all this while. You should know who I am. But Jesus knew they did not know who he was. And what was his response? He says, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But my Father who is in heaven. He knew that they did not know who he was. And that's the same thing today, in the world today. People do not know who Jesus is. This is where you and I come in, because we know who he is. Or I should speak for myself, I know who he is. You have to make it personal. I tell people salvation is personal. So I do not want to generalize and say we. I would say I know who he is. But he answered, he said, Simon Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. That means for you to know Jesus, it has to be a revelation. You cannot study to know him. It has to be a revelation. God has to reveal. He says this, Peter did not just bring this out of his brain. He says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. So who do men say I am? So to some people, he might just be a great teacher. To some, he might be a great healer. To some, he might be a great rabbi. Maybe the great son of a carpenter. That's what some people see him as. But only the revelation of God, the revelation of the Spirit of God, would tell you that, no, this is the Son of God. So then we can understand why, when he came, he says the world knew him not. He dwelt among us, but we knew him not. So the conversation continues to go. And I say this all the time, that the more or the closer you are to God, the more like him you become. There might be times in your life where you think of something and it happens immediately. And then there are times you're like, oh, I've been praying 2 weeks. No response. Is God not listening? But does that change the fact that you are a child of God? I would say no, it doesn't change the fact you're a child of God, because, well, when you're writing your exam, when you're writing a test, isn't that the time the teacher is way more quiet? If we think about it that way, we know that every situation we go through, that we are moving to a different level. He says, it worketh for you a far much greater glory. See, count it all joy when you go through these things, because it worketh for you a far much greater glory. So, going back to the person of Jesus, he said, I wrote so many things that he says, to know Jesus is a revelation. And the moment you realize that, that is the greatest revelation that mankind could ever know. If we look at the Bible, it says John had the revelation of Christ. Paul had the revelation of the church. You mix that together, you're unstoppable. The moment we understand the revelation of the church, that it is the greatest entity on earth, it is going to change your mindset, how you view the church, how you view the body of Christ. The church should be the vehicle of change. Right? That means if I belong to the body of Christ, the church, that means I can speak to nations and change would happen. That means I could speak to cities and change would happen, because he has made us kings and priests unto our city, unto our nation, unto our country. So the moment we realize the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Christ, the revelation of church, which is the body of Christ, it is game over. And as I mentioned earlier, the revelation is not going to come from studying alone. Studying is part of it. But knowing for yourself, that revelation comes from God. And this is where we need to ask, Lord, show me. Lord, teach me. It says, let him that lacks wisdom ask. I was speaking with Apostle sometime, I think a year or two ago. I fasted for 21 days and I did not want to leave that place. At some point, I was nervous of leaving that place because I did not want to face what was outside what I was experiencing. Because I only had to think about things and they would happen. I didn't have to pray 24 hours, 1 hour, 2 hours. I just had to think and it happened. And God was teaching me how to pray. He was teaching me, this is what you say, this is what you don't say, this is how you say it, this is how you don't say it. And that was because, one, I lacked wisdom. So, Lord, give me wisdom. But he did not give me from studying alone. He gave me by revelation. And the sweet thing about revelation is that you can't tell where it came from. You just know. Like, it's not going to say, oh, I know this because it was in my brain. Or I know this because I studied about it. No, revelation is imparted into you. So you just know. I've heard situations where people get healed. They couldn't see since they were kids and they got healed. And you have people questioning, well, how did they know that color is green? They haven't seen since they were a baby. Well, that's where revelation comes in. You just know. You cannot explain it. You just know because the Holy Spirit imparts that in you. I want us to open to John 17, verse 1. And we're still speaking about Jesus here. We're still speaking about Jesus here. John chapter 17, verse 1. He says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Wow. So that means when you know Jesus, you know life eternal. When you know Jesus, you know life eternal. And as I studied this part of the scripture and understanding how everything came about, like God giving his Son and his Son dying, and then I go back to situations that moved God where he wanted Abraham to give his Son. And that Son was something Abraham was asking for a long time. And now God is saying, Abraham, it's time for you to give your Son back to me. And no questions asked. God was moved. Abraham had a son to give. God did not have one to give. Before we continue, I'd like to pray, if you don't mind putting your hands on your chest. And I wrote a prayer down that I was going to pray. Heavenly Father, grant every heart the revelation of your word, your son Jesus, tonight. Tonight, let your presence fill every heart. Let your anointing fill this place. Oh, that the Holy Ghost will manifest himself here and bring glory to your name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Abraham had a son to give. God did not have a son to give. So we go back to the earlier scripture where Peter said that you are the son of the living God. And we understand that that's a revelation. He did not study. It wasn't something he studied about. It was a revelation. Now, with the situation with Abraham, he had a son to give. God did not have a son to give. Jonathan was willing to give his life up for David to be the next king. That also moved God, because even Jesus said it in the Bible that there is no greater love than one that a man should lay down his life for a friend. So we have two situations here where people were willing to give something that cost them something, and God had none. So now God wanted a son to give, but there was no man on earth that was fit enough to do that. I always tell people that the things we do in life, or the things God does for us, is for his name's sake. I've asked this question before. Apostle, you have an Apple iPhone, right? Do you think Apple loves you so much that if the screen cracks, they tell you, oh, just return it, we'll fix it for you? No, it's not because they love you so much. It is for their namesake. They know that if message goes out that, the phone was getting hot in the person's pocket and blew up, that's not good on our name. So what is in the warranty? Return it if this situation happens, right? For their namesake. The same way with God. For his namesake, he's not going to let you suffer. For his namesake, you will not just die like men. For his name's sake, you will not be put to shame. But now the question is, if I don't know Jesus, how would I know that for his name's sake, these things are available to me? I wouldn't. I may hear about it, but because there's no revelation, I cannot stand and trust in that. We sang the song, we sing because we're happy. His eyes on the sparrow. We know he watches us. If I know he watches me, then I shouldn't fear. Why? Because when we look at the story of Jesus, he could not be killed. It was one person that could not die. He had to give up his life. Like he said, I had the power to lay it down, pick it up. I have the power to do whatever I want with it. Right? He could not be killed. Even the demons knew that Christ was a terror to demons. Like when he showed up, oh Lord. And that's why you see that when our sins came upon him, they felt like, we're going to have a field day. Because now there is something tagged to Christ that makes us have the power to do what we want. Prior to then, no. He could not be touched. And if God says as he is, so are we in this world. That means I cannot be touched. So then if I cannot be touched, and then we go to the Bible and see the only reason he could be touched was when our sins came upon him. What do you think would open the doors for you to be touched? Sin. So this is why we need to daily repent. This is why we need to daily go back to God. Lord, if there's anything in me that's not in line with your word, cleanse me. during my fast then, I would pray prayers that even I was scared of praying because I did not know what the outcome would be. I'll say, Lord, cleanse me, break me. Well, I don't know what break me would be. Break me might mean something I like doing, you're going to stop me from doing it. Something I love to do, you might stop me from doing it. So that was a scary prayer, but I longed to please God. So I was willing to pray that prayer. Lord, break me, mold me, renew me. There's a song that says, purify me like gold so that I might be bold to say, my body is your sanctuary. Purify me. Well, purity doesn't just come by, oh, I'm just going to pour water and that's it. There could be lots of burning. There could be lots of rigorous washing to purify something. There could be lots of placing from one thing to another to get the desired result. So if we're saying purify me so I might be bold, well, also ask God at the same time for the strength to go through that. So we're seeing that now God wants to give his son. He had none to give. And what was one thing God had that he could always count on? His word. He says God's word carries life. And the thing about God's word is that the seed of that thing he speaks on or about, it's in that word. So if he says healing is yours, the seed of healing is in that word. So that means you cannot separate the Father from his word. So then we go back to Jesus. You could not separate Jesus from God. Because when Jesus came, he was 100% man, 100% God. Now, one of the reasons why they did not know who he was because he set aside his glory. I always thought about it. I was like, well, Lord, he's your son. We should know immediately. When he comes on earth, we should know, oh, that's Jesus. Yeah. He looks like God. There's glory all over him. Right? But no. He said he set aside his glory. That means God basically put his kingdom on the line for you and I. Do you love somebody that much to put your house on the line? Even you would ask yourself that question, is everything okay for me to put my house on the line for somebody? So God basically put his kingdom on the line. See, he set aside his glory. Jesus had every right to do whatever he wanted to do. But the only goal was to please God. So now God spoke to Mary, you would have a son and his name would be called Jesus. The seed of that son was in the word. And guess what? Here comes Christ. And he was born. Now, you would say, well, he's the son of God. It should be all good and dandy, right? But what happened? He was born in the manger. That doesn't sound like a son of God. I would think he should be born in the best hospital in the world. No. But then I look at the whole situation and I'm like, you know what? This means God can bring something out of nothing. The same person that was born in the manger was the one who gave his life for you and I. Is the same reason you and I are here today. And I'm thinking, so many people don't know this person called Jesus. So then I think one of the reasons I woke up crying was, if he did all this and people don't know about him, so they are suffering for no reason. And then it took me back to when I was fasting. How I would hope that everyone here tries that and just fast. But this time be intentional about it. Because what I felt then, I still cannot explain it. It's like I don't know how to, I spoke with you, I don't know how to explain it. It's like I had the mind of Christ. There were things I would watch, it looks like normal comedy to me. I couldn't watch them anymore. It felt like there was just something different. It's like people's pain. I could feel it way, like normally I would feel what people are going through, but it was way intense this time. So then I understood what he meant when he said Christ had compassion. Lord, I used to say I have compassion, but I did not know this is what compassion meant, because you would feel it. And I think I was asking Apostle, is there such a thing called holy anger? Because there were things I would see people going through, and that anger would well up, like, why? Why should people go through things like this? But he says to know Christ, it has to be a revelation. But how can we show people the way to know Christ? Right? If we're not preaching the gospel, in your daily conversation, is there anywhere in there that you speak about Christ? Because when you come to realize the revelation of Jesus Christ, of the person that he is, you would want to do the same thing, where his only goal was to please the Father. I was crying. I woke up crying. I was like, souls, souls, souls. That's all I could think about, souls. So do you mean I'm the only one that would enjoy this thing? No, Lord, it can't be. He didn't die for just me. But how can the world hear if I'm not even speaking? If I'm just enjoying it alone? If I'm not trying to show them the way so that they can have the revelation of Jesus Christ? See, it's one thing to pray and get results. But what I tell people is ask God that you want to experience him. And this is why I said when I left the city in 2013, I believe, I said whatever what I went through then, I experienced God in such a way that I don't know how bills were paid. Because I wasn't working. But I don't know how bills were paid. There were times I would break down and start crying because I had just $5 in my pocket. And I would break down and cry like, Lord, I'm doing everything. I've done 500 applications. And then, I think it was the Christmas period, I went to the store with just $20. But what was happening was, I would spend, it felt like that money was multiplying. Like I'm finding money in places I did not put the money. So what I tell people is, because I've experienced God in that situation, no matter how many times that situation comes up again, I will not be moved because I've experienced God. So that's why you see in the Bible where in situations where people experience God, they built something or they named that thing. Oh, Mount Sinai, because I experienced God in this place. Jehovah, my banner, because I experienced him as my protection. Jehovah, my provider. So the reason those names came about, see, God will not confine himself to one name. That is why when Moses asked, who should I say sent me? He says, just tell them, I am. Why? Because our God is a strategic God. Because the moment he tells you, oh, just tell them my name is Jehovah Moses, whatever he calls himself, that is how everybody would frame God as. So now, no matter how else God comes, nobody would believe that's God. Because, well, when Moses came, he said, it was Jehovah this, right? So God said, I am. What is I am to you? I am provider to you. I could be protection to you. I am wisdom to you, right? I am knowledge to you. I am understanding to you. So now God is this wide spectrum, but one. So now I can say, is Jehovah Jireh my provider in the case of lack? in the case of sickness, I can say it's Jehovah Jireh or it's Jehovah my healer. But I have to experience him to be able to say he is this for me. And during that fast, this is where all these revelations were coming. The names, I was just writing some things I didn't even know it was called. I saw Jehovah Shammah, like so many things I saw. I was like, I didn't know they called you Jehovah this before. But this was revelation. And what do you know? I started saying, Jehovah, you're here. And guess what? It's like something just activated. The moment you say Jehovah, you're here. Now he begins to show you things that you do not see. He says he will open the eyes of your understanding. That means you understand, but there's another level of understanding. It will open the eyes of your understanding. I was speaking with Kristen, I think it was earlier this morning, or when we, she mentioned about this is what school gets you. I said, no, I beg to differ. Brother Byron, I think you said that's the Moses effect. And I said, no, it is because, for one, I put in work. So all these things I know, it wasn't because of school, because I knew them before I even started the university. And I said, one other benefit, I have the Holy Spirit. And all I did was show me. And then I gave her examples of where I've stepped into places and without touching the thing, oh, it's working. Now they have to explain to me how, oh, no. This thing has not been working for weeks. It just happened to work when you showed up. Now I would think that is a mistake, but this has happened more than I can count, where I would show up to a client's place and, oh, just turn it on and boom, it's working. But the reason that is because I know the God that I serve. And a lot of times before I go there, I'm like, Lord, show me what to do. I know that I'm good when it comes to this, but show me what to do. Show me the right buttons to push. Or, Lord, I don't want to spend more than 10 minutes here. But I'm asking, right? Why? Because I have the revelation of who Jesus is. You cannot separate the Father from his word. You cannot separate God from Jesus. And this is why when it was time for him to die, that was the worst thing that could ever happen, because he had never been separated from the Father. He was like, Lord, if this can pass me by, he had never been separated. And this, it's so interesting, because now God was enjoying the joy of having a child. You see, a child that was produced from my word. Now I understand the kind of joy Abraham had. And now I have to let him go. Even God had to do like this. Because I'm sure if God was facing, he probably would like, oh, son, I don't think I can watch you go through this. God had to. And this is what I tell people. I say, God is the only God that will let you, that would fire you and still let you keep your job. You do not want to be in that place. And that's why I always ask God, Lord, if there's anything I'm doing that is going to make you fire me, please let me know now. People a lot of times don't understand what that means, so I'll break it down. God is the only one that would fire you and let you keep your job, in that the healing will continue to take place. Everything that you usually do would always happen, work. But you would notice you're just there. You're not going anywhere. Everything is working, but you're just there. That's what it means when God fires you and lets you keep your job. We do not want to be in that place. So in this situation, his son is about to take on sin. And God knows, for this sin to come upon my son, it's going to separate him from me. Even Jesus knew that. He was like, Lord, do not let this. He said, let this cup pass. And why I understand that this situation separated the son from the father was what he said on the cross, where he says, why have thou forsaken me? Remember what I said earlier on, that only the when you're taking your test, that's when the teacher is built. It doesn't say anything. I think that's what Christ felt at that moment. God, you're not saying anything. See, they just chained me. They're nailing me. They're whooping me. You're not saying anything. Why have you forsaken me? Right? But still, he went through with it. He did not go back. So I'm glad. I'm thankful that Jesus finished the race. I always say that, Lord, I want to serve you in a way that when it all comes to an end, you would say, well done, thou faithful servant. Whatever I'm doing, that's the goal. I want you to say, well done. In Jesus' case, he said, well done. Why? Because just like they thought that, oh, now we have a hold of Jesus. Guess what? He fought every chains, every enemy. Right when they thought, oh, we've won, took the gates of hell, he took the keys of sickness, death, everything. And he's the only one that has an empty tomb today. So that means we serve a living God. Our God is not dead. So I want us to think, meditate on this person, Jesus Christ. He says the miracle of God's word is that when God speaks, his word is the life, or to whatever his word says. That means if he says you're healed, his word is life to your body. That's the miracle of God's word. So then when he says, Mary, you would have a son, his word was seed and life to that womb. So if somebody's barren today, God's word is seed to that womb. Now you can put any seed, or you can put it on the best Rolls Royce chair. It's not going to grow. You could put it on the pulpit here. It's not going to grow. But when you put it on the right soil, what does it do? It grows, right? So this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because the seed now doesn't grow except it is in the right environment. Now, having the revelation of Christ makes you understand that the Holy Spirit creates the environment for God's word to grow. That is why when God spoke, it came to pass. That's why God is bold enough to say, my word will not return to me void, because there is the Holy Spirit that creates the environment for it to grow. So that means if I have a need, I cannot just speak out of nowhere. I need to speak from a position of power, knowing that I have the Holy Spirit in me and he's going to create the right environment. That's why it says your word will go forth and will not return void. Faith frames your world. I say faith is the response of the human spirit to God's word. When you think about it that way, that means I can call things that be not as though they were. If that job, it does not exist, I can call it into place. I was speaking with my wife. That means we can order new parts. If somebody has a bad kidney, we can order new kidneys. You have a bad heart, guess what? There's spare parts for that. God knew beforehand, you can order it. Lord, I obtain. See, if he has prepared the table before me, I shouldn't be questioning and asking. The table is there. Go and take it. I will obtain a good heart. I will obtain good kidney. So then when I pray, I'm not saying, oh, Lord, I'm dying here. No food, no money, this, that, that. No, I say, Lord, I receive money because you said that you will supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But I'm speaking that because I'm responding. My spirit is responding to God's word that says, the Lord shall supply all your need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But also, having that revelation of Christ makes me know that I need the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, to be present to create that environment. That is why the Bible can be read in a cult group and nothing happens. There are places the Bible can be read and nothing is going to happen. Why? Because it is not the right environment for that word to grow, right? So, we need this revelation of Christ. And it's only going to come by you asking God. It's only going to come by you telling God, Lord, I surrender to you. Use me. Teach me. In my case, I said, break me, mold me, renew me, refine me. These are difficult prayers you would have to pray because you do not understand what the outcome would be. Like, we know what the result, but the process, are you willing to go through that process? It might be as painful as what Christ went through, maybe in this day and age. But are you willing to go through that process for God to reveal himself to you? For him to reveal the person of Jesus to you? I would end today saying that the word that God spoke because Jesus or became Jesus, the word God spoke became Jesus. Remember, he says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God, right? That word became flesh. So the word became Jesus. If the word became Jesus, that means whatever I speak becomes Jesus. Because he has given me power. Power in my tongue to speak. He has given me power to change things. That means I have the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ. So then, this is how it's going to work if I give an illustration. I can say to sickness, leave. So in the Bible, what happened? When Jesus showed up, he be healed. And the word became seed. And that seed became the healing, right? Okay, so then, if God's word became Jesus, that means if I tell sickness, leave, I'm technically saying, sickness, Jesus here, I'm standing here. Do you think sickness can stand Jesus? No. What does it do? It leaves, right? Because at the mention of that name, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, on earth, under the earth, wherever else you can think of, that name still stands. But for you to be able to use that name, you need to have that revelation of who that person is. So I pray that as we go home today, this week, this month, this year, we spend time to meditate, to ponder on God's word, to ponder on who is this person, Jesus. Yeah, I know he died for my sin, but who is he? Is he just the son of a carpenter? Is he just a healer? Is he just a provider? Is he just this or that? Who is he to me? Jesus can mean so much more to you. It can mean so much more to me. But I have to personally have that relationship with him. And I don't want this message to be just for everyone here. I hope that we can be able to pass this message across to those we know, those we love, those we don't even know, neighbors, friends, because at the end of the day, we are in this body so that we can win more to him. So we don't just enjoy it alone. Otherwise, Jesus could have died for himself, which would make no sense because then why is God giving his son? No. He loved us so much. He says love propelled him to give. Love. So he didn't just give because, oh, Abraham did not have to give. Oh, Abraham had to give. I didn't have to give. Jonathan was willing to lay his life down. I didn't have anything to do. No, his love propelled him to give. And what did he give? Something that cost him. He says, his only begotten. That means the one that came from me, that was born from my word. He came, he saw what the joy of having a child was. He says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Wow. There are so many people out there in this world who wish that their parents can just say, I'm proud of you. That's what it sounds like. I'm pleased with him. Ooh, this is my son. Yeah, you are your father's son. See? In whom I am well pleased. So God experienced the joy of having a child. But that love he had for the world propelled him to give that son away. And guess what? We are representative of the kingdom of heaven today. So from one, we became many. Now, if you see me, you see Jesus. If I see you, I see Jesus. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So now God doesn't just have, oh, he's my only begotten. Now he says, you are also my begotten. I delight in you. Yes, he says that. I delight in you. That's another way of saying, I'm proud of you. Moses, I delight in you. I love the things you do. That's why I tell people, don't worry yourself about what people think about you. God delights in you. Even if you do it a different way, God delights in you. He loves how you handle things. Right? But we need to have that revelation of Christ. And the moment you begin to have that revelation of Christ, or you see and feel and hear, there's no going back. Because nothing else is going to matter. Just like Christ, where his only goal was to please the Father. Your only goal now would be, Lord, I want to be in a right standing with you. I want to please you. I want to bring more to your kingdom. So thank you, Lord, for the word today. And I hope and pray that as you go and study and meditate on the word, that the Lord adds a blessing to the reading of the scripture. The Lord adds a blessing to the time of meditation, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Apostle, for the opportunity to speak. And yeah, God is good. Hallelujah.
God is good. Sharing that word with us tonight, reminding us again about the love of God. Your awareness of this love of God determines greatly how you live your life on a daily basis. Whether you live your life in fear, live your life confused, live your life recognizing that God loves you. But to what extent? In John 17, and 23 says, Jesus, our Lord, is speaking. Actually, verse 22. He says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. It's partly what Moses was talking about. And he talks about going to a situation and the problem is solved. Not because he went there tickling with anything, but even the computer or the software or whatever knew to be wise to correct itself. There are dimensions of great grace and favor that God has for us that we're not tapping into. And that's what I love about the message this evening. That there are dimensions that we need to tap into. God has made available to us. The glory which thou givest me, I have given them. And what is that glory meant to do? That they may be one, even as we are one. Even as you, Father, and I are one, I want them to be one. And when they are one, they'll be one in us. So there's no difference. It's a remarkable statement he made about the fact that the Word of God, when you speak the Word of God, it goes to occupy the space where the enemy used to occupy. Because it's a manifestation of Jesus. And that element of truth comes from Hebrews 11 and verse 1. I'll come back to John 17. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is a remarkable statement. It doesn't look like much at the very onset, but it's a powerful declaration. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for. Substance. That word for substance is the same word for the, in Hebrews 1, where it talks about Jesus being the express image of the Father. So in essence, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, is faith is Jesus. That he is the substance. Praise the Lord. So, you and I need to see the connection between Jesus and everything that you want. Without him was nothing made. Everything came out of Jesus. And still is coming out of Jesus. It's still coming out of the Word. So basically, the message tonight is reminding us of the fact that every solution you're looking for is a manifestation of Jesus himself. It's a manifestation of the Word of God. Amen? Let's go back to John 17. In just a moment, I'm going to pray with us. In John 17, 23, it says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. In what one? Made perfect in God, made perfect in their partnership with me and you. What else is going to happen? And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and this is a biggie, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You've loved them as they have loved me. In essence, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, just as much as God loves me, that's how much he loves you. That's crazy. You mean God loves me just as much as he loves you, Jesus? Yes. He loves you exactly as much as he loves Jesus. And he is not lying. He cannot lie. Do you feel the love of God? Now, you didn't have to go die. He died for you, but you died in him because you were made one. So you died with him. You were buried with him. You rose again from the dead with him. You ascended with him, far above all principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and all spiritual wickedness. And you are seated with him, in him, as one. But none of that will work if you don't think that way. You got to think that way. You got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And he mentioned about how he went into a time of fasting and how things changed. His perception of things, his sensitivity changed. Do you know that the Word of God teaches us that part of what fasting does is it helps us to be humble. It helps you to come into alignment with the Word of God. When you're finding it difficult to line up with what the Word of God says, fast. To mortify the deeds of the flesh. You're putting your flesh under and saying, you're not controlling me, I'm controlling you. And when you start doing that, your sensitivity gets heightened. It really gets heightened. And things begin to change. Let that begin to happen for us. Learn how to fast. You're not fasting for more power. You're fasting to mortify, kill the activity of the flesh. But the net result is that as you push down the flesh, your spirit rises. And now that you are empowered, you don't get empowered to become arrogant and proud. Look at me. No. You become empowered to do like Jesus did. Haven't you remember one of the first things he did was he went and he fasted? Yeah? And when he fasted, when he was a hunger, the enemies came to tempt him. And he used the revelation of the Word of God to shut the enemy down. Yeah? Okay? Same thing. Start. Maybe just fast for one day. Start with one day. You get used to one day, go for 2 days. Maybe go for 3 days. Don't try to do 21 days all of a sudden. You might croak. You know, you got it. Little by little. And you get stronger and stronger, more capable. And you will find portals opening. Portals of grace and portals of favor. and things changing for you when you are not even expecting it. Amen? So thank you, Brother Moses, for the powerful word that you've shared with us tonight. And remember, just as much as God loved Jesus, so he has loved you, right? Right? If you believe that, say amen. Okay. Now I'm going to say something. The Son that he loved, he gave to the world. When God loves you, he gives you. So stop complaining. Oh, look what is happening to me. No. God loves you. And so he gives you to represent him, to show forth his love. So sometimes God loving you means challenges. But the fact is, with every challenge, you end up overcoming. Amen? Hallelujah. And the end part of it. Are you ready for this? I don't want to go into it tonight, but let me say this. When you connected and knit with his heart, when there's a problem, he presents you. And in presenting you, he presents himself. And things will change just because you were there. Because you are the representative of Jesus. But we grow into that. Daily you grow it. Daily I'm growing. And as he brings you higher, you begin to recognize. Peter, I know. Paul, I know. In other words, if Peter showed up here, I would have taken off. If Paul showed up, I would have showed. But who are you? Just the presence of you will terrorize the forces of darkness. That's what we've been hearing tonight. Amen? Rise with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the powerful word that we've received tonight from your servant, Moses. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his life and with his life and through his life, and how, Lord, oh God, you are establishing purpose. I declare, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that every satanic agenda be canceled immediately. I declare that every one of us that have heard your word today, receive that word, that transformative word, and walk in the integrity and the full impact and benefit of experiencing your word that forever changes our lives. We give you praise. Thank you, Father, that problems are getting resolved even now because you are manifesting your glory in each life and in each situation. There is not a place that you are not present. You are the omnipresent God. And therefore, Father, this day let it be burnt deep within our spirit, our souls, and our bodies, that you are the God everywhere present. And where the presence of God is, there is liberty. We thank you, Lord, that there is not a place or a time that we are lacking knowledge, for you are the all-knowing, omniscient God. We tap into that oneness. We tap into that oneness. We tap into that oneness, and we abide in your omniscience. We abide this day in your omnipresence, and we abide in your omnipotence, your all-powerful presence. Blessed be your holy name. We surrender our lives to you, and we say, Lord, use our lives to testify of your goodness all of our days. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving and trust him to increase us in every area of our lives. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the word that we received tonight. For about 2 days, the Lord was speaking to me about it. And I called Brother Moses yesterday and told him, you're speaking Sunday night. Well, he's very fortunate I gave him that much time. Because when I was growing up, I had 5 minutes. I was showing up in church and they said, Pastor says that you're speaking tonight. Huh? They were doing it to trip me because I had a remarkable call and they thought that I was going to fall flat on my face. But what they did not know was that before they said, God had said. And God had prepared me. And every time, it was home run. The ball was out of the park. So what are we going to do? Let's shorten the time. It didn't matter. And you watching me right now, I may tap on you by the leading of the Holy Spirit one day and say, you, up there. But Pastor, you didn't tell me. I wasn't ready. Sorry. If you fall flat on your face, your business. Or you can be ready in season and out of season and be in connection with the Father and know that you're about to be tapped. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord may just speak to me while I'm sitting down there. It's not going to be my fault. It's going to be, that's what the Lord said, and I'm going to do what God said. Amen? Hallelujah. And you know the thing about it? When God says, this person, and you say, I'm not ready, you just missed your opportunity to trust God, who said, open your mouth, and I will do what? Fill it. Praise God. So be ready. And some people may be online and they're thinking that means they cannot be tapped. Don't worry. I might be sitting down there and the Lord says, Sister Carol. Sister Carol, you're speaking tonight. No way. I'm going to turn my camera off. I'll come find you. God is good. Anyway, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Just be at peace. It is well. Amen? Because you're supposed to be ready. Amen? Be ready. That's what the Word of God says. Be ready to give testimony or witness to what God's Word says. Just do it. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord didn't say you have to speak for 5 hours. 5 minutes might just be all you've got. Give it the 5 minutes. 5 minutes will be more than enough. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is good. Well, the Lord bless you. May you know God's favor, peace, and prosperity all of your days. God is raising up an army of men and women that will flow under his leading and guidance to establish the purposes of the kingdom of God and be part of that army. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll say bye to those who are on Facebook and YouTube, and I'll turn on to those that are on Zoom.